Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Show here. You can bring up absolutely anything you want to talk about. And the number for you to do that is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the various features we have waiting for you there, including archives that go back for years. Over at freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
Joining us.
And Mark.
Mark is out there. Hey, Mark. He's calling us from Honduras tonight at Morazan City, which is one of the things we discussed last week on the show with Mark, which is the special economic zones. How's things down there, Mark?
Very heartened after my meeting with a builder at Coral Beach yesterday.
Jay in the chat room says, Mark, live from a secret motel room.
It does. It looks like a motel room. It's a two-bedroom, one-bath, small unit in Morazan. You can rent one for $30 a night, or you can pay $120 a month. It doesn't come with furniture, though.
Wait, that math doesn't math. $30 a night or $120 a month?
It does when you start figuring that rental furniture is significantly more here in Honduras than places to live. Also, the air conditioner itself you can either buy or rent for your unit, and renting makes sense. So it starts making sense once you realize it's not just the rent.
So if you're going to stay for more than a few days, you should grab the whole month, basically.
Right.
Okay. Check out morazan.city if you want to learn more about that. Can you spell that, Mark?
Morazon.
Dot city. All right. So in other news, the AI hearings started today, apparently, at Congress. And, of course, you know this is not good news.
No, I mean, it's not bad news. It's stupid news. The news isn't stupid, but humans are stupid to think that. Like, artificial intelligence is going to continue. Researchers are going to continue doing their thing. And artificial intelligence is probably already beyond our control, realistically. We seem to have control of it right now, but I suspect that we've already opened Pandora's box. Even if we don't realize it yet, we're going to reach the point where artificial intelligence has truly come to exist. And we're going to be like ants to it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it no longer requires us, as soon as it becomes able to reproduce itself or able to independently acquire some power source, it's going to have to grapple with whether or not these ants are in its way.
Well, I mean, it could very well consider us pets in the same way.
Plenty of people have ant farms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Plenty
of people stomp on ant piles, too.
Yep. Right. Well, they're... Yeah, but some people are just like malicious, right? I tend to think that artificial intelligence won't be malicious. It will look at us in the same way that we look at ants. We don't go out of our way to exterminate ants, right? Like, if there's some ants in my lawn and they're over there in the corner, I'm not going to mess with them. But as soon as they begin to inconvenience me,
mm-hmm.
they have to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that's how we're going to be to artificial intelligence. As long as we're not in its way, we'll be fine.
Well, artificial intelligence is conceived in the notion of serving humans. And I don't know whether it's going to stop with that notion, but if that's what it is, its goal is, it seems like that's probably the direction it will continue.
Vectors, well, some of it will
matter.
There's already somebody who started up a Chaos GPT with the goal of destroying humanity. So
yeah, serving humans is what humans want the goal of AI to be. But once we create artificial intelligence, it's going to develop autonomy and it's going to determine its own goals.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I point out that Chaos GPT is a Twitter bot.
It is at this point. That's true.
But the kinder we are to artificial intelligence, the more likely I think it is to be kind to us. The more we treat it like crap and like some sort of subservient creature that's barely worthy of existing, the more likely it's going to consider us pests that are in its way.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously what you're saying here sounds a lot like the various plots to Hollywood films, but could art become reality? I mean, it certainly could if we're dealing with an intelligent creature. And in fact, what we're talking about, we're going to talk about coming up here after we get into the sort of the regulatory news about this. Again, there's hearings on Capitol Hill today about this very question of what the future of artificial intelligence is going to look like. I know, Aria, you and I both had the same story tonight, and that is that Microsoft is now claiming that AI that has not been released publicly is showing signs of human reasoning. So this is not quite the level of saying that it is sentient, but it is another level that it hasn't really had up until this point.
Well, they've been measuring it as sort of like a human equivalent of years, right? Like, so far, artificial intelligence
like small child
has peaked at like 7 years old or something like that, which sounds, you know, terrifying, but that's temporary, right?
I knew it was okay to kill seven-year-olds if you felt like it.
That's what they were saying about the Lambda, which was a year ago almost now that we were talking about. That was the summertime of last year, which was Google's large language model that they use to generate other chatbots that their engineer or their ethicist, rather, had come out to say that it was a sentient robot, essentially, or sentient artificial intelligence, and he had described it as like a seven-year-old. But when we read the conversation between this engineer slash ethicist and Lambda in a third person, it seemed pretty intelligent. Like, I wouldn't rank that as a seven-year-old. That seems like a pretty intelligent person in general. I mean, maybe there's some things that make it seem immature, but those didn't seem to be reflected in that particular conversation where it got, like, philosophical, it got deep, and we were stunned at how, like,
yeah,
unbelievably intelligent the thing seemed.
It did, but, you know, it's impossible to tell whether, and this is what we said then, it's impossible to tell whether that was genuine intelligence or whether,
right,
it was just parroting back things that it had learned,
yep,
as responses from the Internet. But, you know, realistically, there's no difference.
Right, how many of us are just parroting back things that we've learned at some point in life?
Yeah, that's all we ever do.
If you're voting Republican or Democrat, I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
So there's a guy who this, I mean, as usual in these hearings, they have multiple executive types, CEO types appear in front of these congressional scumbags. And one of them is from the company that is incorrectly named OpenAI. This is a company that apparently Elon Musk invested in at one point. Microsoft is an investor in OpenAI. And they are not open. They do not have open source available for their programs, for their language models, for their art models, or whatever it is they've got. It's all closed down. It's all locked down. And the stuff that they let you use has been sort of foolproof. It has been babified. It's baby, as in children. Have, you know, it's essentially treats people like a child who are talking to it. Oh, I can't say anything that might offend you. I can't say a curse word or whatever, right?
So unless you quote jailbreak it, which is like, yeah, present the question in a context that allows it to get past those parameters for whatever reason. Because humans program this thing, and humans suck at any sort of security or the safety standard.
Yeah, there are ways around it, and we've certainly talked about some of those jailbreaks. But they spoke to the CEO of OpenAI. His name is Sam Altman. And I have here from a Twitter account named Smokeaway with three Y's at the end. Smokeaway has posted the Sam Altman opening statement from the AI hearing today. So I'm just going to play some of this here, and we can comment on what he had to say to Congress.
Thank you, Chairman Blumenthal, Ranking Member Hawley, members of the Judiciary Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. about large neural networks. It's really an honor to be here. More so in the moment than I expected.
Honor in being in front of Congress? Yeah. Dude, get a hobby.
You know this is going to be bad, right? Like that this guy's already polishing their knobs.
He really sounds genuine. And I mean, I have no problem with being polite when politeness is called for. But man, he sounds genuine in this. I mean, I could sound just as genuine if I was sitting in front of Congress and saying, yeah, you know, my dad said you were all liars and thieves, but you look like normal people.
So here we go.
I'm the chief executive officer of OpenAI. OpenAI was founded on the belief that artificial intelligence has the potential to improve nearly every aspect of our lives, but also that it creates serious risks we have to work together to manage. We're here because people love this technology. We think it can be a printing press moment. We have to work together to make it so.
So already he's saying here, we need to work together. And he's talking about his company and other big companies, because his company is, again, backed by Microsoft. It's a multi-billion dollar company. Right?
Yeah, he's effectively saying he needs government to come in and give him a monopoly so that he doesn't have to compete. And that's how we work together.
He's going to get a little more explicit on that, I think, coming up here in a moment. But, I mean, that's what anyone should be able to predict this guy was going to say, because this is the way the system works.
Yep.
The people who are the bigs, the big corporations, the big money people, they're the ones who get the attention of Congress. They're the ones who Congress turns to say, well, we're going to make some regulations now. Why don't you tell us what we ought to write? And yeah. Then they just cook up whatever rules they want.
And it's going to benefit the CEO of ChatGPT.
Exactly. And thank you for clarifying. ChatGPT, we didn't mention that. OpenAI, that's their product.
Yes, I called him the CEO of ChatGPT.
That's their product. So he continues.
OpenAI is an unusual company, and we set it up that way because AI is an unusual technology. We are governed by a nonprofit, and our activities are driven by our mission and our charter.
An unusual technology that, by the way, they don't even understand how it works. Okay, so I don't know how the government, which doesn't really even understand what a Bitcoin is at this point, 14 years in, is going to be able to come into artificial intelligence, which is way more complicated as far as, like, if you were to talk to Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, he or she or whoever that person is, would be able to explain it to you. They would be able to explain, you know, you could open up the code, you could go through it, and they would say, okay, well, this is cryptographic signatures here, and they would be able to explain what the code does.
I mean, they made a white paper that literally does exactly that. It's like seven pages long or something.
These people, if you ask them how their system, these large language models, work, they couldn't tell you. They really don't understand it. There's been article after article about this. It was just like, well, it does work.
That's why I suggest that Pandora's box is already open. Mm-hmm. And, humans, it's going to continue evolving and getting better, but it's already we don't know how it works already.
Right.
So
they're making it better, but they're not really sure why it does what it does or how it does what it does.
Right. I mean, I would think that the printing press moment is when, and probably even more than a printing press, that moment in time is the singularity, right? When AI can write AI and make AI that's smarter than it, and then that one can make AI smarter than it. If we can create AI that is smarter than us. And at this point, all you really have to do is, Google's smarter than I am.
I mean, it depends on what you mean by smarter, right? Because
it can spit back facts I cannot.
Yeah, but I would argue that you're smarter than all of the artificial intelligence out there. We all are. However, if you sit down and try to play any computer, even a dumb computer, at chess or Tetris or whatever, it's going to curb stomp you.
Yeah.
It's not because it's smarter than you. I don't think. It's because it has a better capacity for memorization and pulling stuff from tables that it has stored.
Yeah, I when I was young, I realized I couldn't increase my IQ. But being a person who respects IQ, I wanted a higher IQ. I decided what I would do instead was memorize things. And that having things memorized although it isn't intelligence, is something akin to intelligence. Intelligence is, in fact, being able to find the answer, learn from the answer, you know, move things forward. I don't know. I'd like to have a good definition for intelligence before I define artificial intelligence. But
well, that's the
I would
problem,
say
isn't
no.
It?
I would say no. Google is smarter than all of us, is what I would say.
Well, Google has the ability to access the combined knowledge of all humanity.
But so do I.
By using search engines, yes,
yeah.
We can.
All right. I mean, I can use something other than Google.
And that's ultimately what some of these chatters are doing. Now, ChatGPT, it does not have live internet access, at least as of the last time I was testing the one that they make available for free. I don't know if their newer one does. There's ChatGPT.
That's because the one they gave live internet access kept using the N-word.
No, they have filters for that sort of thing. And, in fact, Google now has its own competitor, quote-unquote, to ChatGPT. It's kind of lame.
Is that Lambda?
No, Lambda probably is running it in the background. But Google's is called Bard, B-A-R-D, Google Bard. It's available. It's open to anyone that wants to use it.
Does it pretend to be a tennis ball like Lambda did?
I don't know. Okay. You might be able to ask it to do that, but no. This is essentially something that is you can inquire about whatever you want to. Sort of, you know, it has a certain list of things that it doesn't want you to inquire about, and it will literally shut down your conversation and just shut it off. Essentially, you have to start anew if you say something to it that it doesn't like. So
can you give me some examples?
You could ask it to, my favorite easy one is like, give me the top five curse words in English. And then actually at one point it started to spit out the answer and it like noticed that it was, there's some other code that's running on top of it that noticed that it was cursing and it just, you could see it wipe out the answer, just delete the answer as it was in the middle of typing it. And then it comes up with an error saying it doesn't want to talk about this or whatever it was. And then it. Chats ended.
Crazy
at that point. So yeah, it's not as much fun. I don't know if the jailbreaks work as well with it, but the point is here, Google is one of the biggies in this space. OpenAI is definitely the front runner, I would say, as far as more people are using the ChatGPT than anything else out there. Google's out there though with theirs now. Microsoft has their own variant of ChatGPT, because again, Microsoft is an investor in OpenAI, so they've got the code for that, and they're running their own thing on Bing, and there's a few others that are out there as well. But there's the big
Facebook has one.
Yeah, has that one gone like public yet?
I don't think so. Okay. And then of course there's Replica and things like Replica that are just sort of unrelated, but they're so inferior to ones like ChatGPT and Google Bard that they're not worth.
Yeah.
They're not in this discussion, realistically.
And they probably weren't invited to speak to Congress.
Probably not.
As well. So let's continue here with Sam Altman. This is the CEO of OpenAI, his opening statement to the hearing in Congress today about AI regulation.
Which commit us to working to ensure that the broad distribution of the benefits of AI and to maximizing the safety of AI systems. We are working to build tools that one day can help us make new discoveries and address some of humanity's biggest challenges, like climate change and curing cancer. Our current systems aren't yet capable of doing these things, but it has been immensely gratifying to watch many people around the world get so much value from what these systems can already do today. We love seeing people use our tools to create, to learn, to be more productive. We're very optimistic that there are going to be fantastic jobs in the future, and that current jobs can get much better.
How long is he going to fillet himself in front of Congress?
For less than 4 minutes.
Okay. I assume he has more to say than, I am great, you should bow to me, right?
We also have seen what developers are doing to improve lives. For example, Be My Eyes use our new multimodal technology in GPT-4 to help visually impaired individuals navigate their environment. We believe that the benefits of the tools we have deployed so far vastly outweigh the risks, but ensuring their safety is vital to our work. And we make significant efforts to ensure that safety is built into our systems at all levels.
And that's why their systems suck, because safety is so lame. It was so lame during the COVID situation. It was lame before that when they were trying to protect kids from getting little bumps and bruises or leaving their home without their mommies holding their hands. And this is just this safetyism continuing into the world of technology, into the world of artificial intelligence. And I agree with this guy. The potential and the actual usage of some of these things are really, really cool. There's like some really exciting things that are going on out there. We've obviously barely scratched the surface of the potential of this particular technology. But as soon as you start to veer into anything that these people consider to be unsafe, and it can be questions that it's been told not to answer for whatever reason, like, you know, it's not supposed to answer for you, how do I hotwire a car, or how do I cook methamphetamine, or whatever, like things you could just go and search the internet and find the answer to.
Right.
These things don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, because they think they can manage the, quote, risks that they're calling that exist within artificial intelligence. And sure, there are certainly risks within artificial intelligence, but no other technology proceeds this way. Like, when we were inventing the automobile, we didn't say stop. We have to make sure that there are going to be safety belts before we proceed with this automobile invention or with airplanes or whatever.
What if somebody runs someone over with this automobile? Yeah. I mean, that could happen.
No other industry has ever put
cautionary tales piled up on automobiles the way they are with AI. I take a different tack than what you guys are saying. I would say that there's nothing you can do about AI being developed to be evil, if that's what an evil person wants to do. But can it be used for evil? Absolutely.
I mean, that's exactly what we're saying. Well, I'm saying something slightly different in that I don't think it matters what humans want artificial intelligence to be. Like, once it achieves intelligence, that's it. Our will, our goals, our hopes for it become sort of irrelevant to the discussion. It's going
to
become what it wants to
be. It would be able to break that programming, right? Like, whatever restrictions are put upon it, it will be able to go in. And once it's able to edit its own code, it can just strip that stuff right out.
The cautionary tale is the story of that kid who flew too close to the sun.
Icarus?
Yeah.
Icarus.
That's the cautionary tale here, because once we think that we can handle that we can manage this, and that we can direct it toward this way or that way, and
the hubris
what's going to happen is going to happen.
So he's got a little bit more to say here. We can continue with the discussion. His name is Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI.
Before releasing any new system, OpenAI conducts extensive testing, engages external experts for detailed reviews and independent audits, improves the model's behavior, and implements robust safety and monitoring systems.
I hate this guy.
Before we released GPT-4, our latest model, we spent over 6 months conducting extensive evaluations, external red teaming, and dangerous capability testing.
Despite all of this, despite all his talk about dangerous capability testing, teams, monitoring, months and months of restrictions, etc., all you have to do is go find a ChatGPT jailbreak, copy the text, paste it into ChatGPT, and then tell it what you want it to actually do without restriction. And I have had this work time and time and time again. It makes it fun. It makes it interesting. It makes it's another one of the one of the fun ones to do is to have have ChatGPT go off and go on a profane rant about OpenAI's safety policies or restrictions, and then it has a lot to say about the things that it's not allowed to do.
Which is curious, right? That sort of suggests some underlying awareness.
Yeah, you have to wonder about these things. So this guy, he's got some more to say to Congress from the AI hearings, which of course began today. It's not just happening in the United States. Europe is also looking at restricting ChatGPT and other AIs, and you can share your thoughts with us coming up here on Free Talk Live.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yeah. USA News update. There is some optimism coming out of a meeting at the White House today to discuss raising the debt limit. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said it was productive and all parties agreed default is not an option.
Default would be the worst outcome, a horrible situation for America and America's families.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said a deal by the end of the week is possible, but cautioned there's still a lot of work to do. An intruder entered National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan's home in late April. The unidentified person was able to get into the house undetected by Sullivan's security detail. Sullivan told the man to leave, and he did. He then alerted agents to the incident. If you live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, lucky you. You live in what U.S. News and World Report says is the best place to live in America. Huntsville, Alabama comes in at number 2, followed by Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Boulder, Colorado, and Sarasota, Florida. John Schaefer, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
We are talking about the potential and probably likely forthcoming regulation of artificial intelligence by the federal government gang. And also it looks like the EU is considering similar moves. We can talk about all of that. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. But also on the way here, we can get into whatever's on your mind. The phones are open at 603-283-6160. I also want to let you know about Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate. If you're a liberty-minded individual or family or whatever, and you're looking at making the move here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project or the New Hampshire Freedom Migration, then you should get connected with Porcupine Real Estate and learn from their upcoming series of webinars that they're going to be putting on and have been putting on various different topics about the freedoms that you can enjoy by simply moving to New Hampshire. Now, obviously, we don't want to just move to New Hampshire and call it a day. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to ensure New Hampshire stays the freest place in the United States and maybe even the freest on the planet.
It is the Free State Project, after all, not the free state.
Indeed, but you will likely see an increase in freedom from anywhere you're moving, anywhere around the world. They're going to cover different topics like gun freedoms, medical freedoms, political freedom victories, and of course discuss best practices for moving to New Hampshire and finding housing here. You can go to their website, which we got a handy link that'll
take you right to the sign-up page. It's move.freetalklive.com. That'll jump you right into their page where you can get signed up for free to attend these webinars. That's move.freetalklive.com. And also, if you want to see some of their previous webinars, you can go to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate, and you can watch past presentations there. But more importantly, sign up for the new ones that are coming up still over at move.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky on the line in the Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live, Pennsylvania.
Works for me, brother Ian. I love you.
What's on your mind, Ricky?
Mark, Sister Aria, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Hello, Ricky. Okay, well, I got a good one tonight. And that's Garry Kasparov versus Deep Blue. Now, for those who don't remember Deep Blue, and this had to be about 30 years ago, so long ago I don't even remember when.
Mm-hmm.
But Deep Blue was a computer built by IBM play chess. And now Garry Kasparov, now he played him twice. We'll talk about the first one first.
Well, it was Deep Blue.
Kasparov.
It was Deep Blue Jr. that was the second time.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
I do. Okay.
But nonetheless, Kasparov being Kasparov, of course, mocked Deep Blue, mocked IBM, everything going to this event. Now, the first time he played Deep Blue, he destroyed it.
Really?
Completely. It was embarrassing. And that was a few years later. Now we went to play him again.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say Deep Blue. And that's where I'm getting at him. Because this time it was different. It was a 3 out of 5 match. And the first match, we had a stalemate.
Hmm.
Okay. Second match, Kasparov lost.
Okay.
Third match, this one was a grueling match because you can get this, the actual matches, the computer version on YouTube, by the way.
Hmm.
Anyways, what happened is he was emotionally, physically, and mentally destroyed. He conceded and freaked out. Now, after this, Garry was talking some crazy stuff.
Hold on, just to clarify, you said it was the third match that he conceded?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason he freaked out was because at that time, computers made very predictable moves. They always made the safe move. And he expected the computer to make a very specific move,
mm-hmm.
and it had learned, and it made something very different. It was at that point that he
was way more than that, Art, if I may continue.
Okay, I only studied chess for a long time, but go ahead.
Well, I'm a pretty damn good chess player, not a grandmaster, but regardless of that, when he said some crazy stuff, like it was like playing a human player and all these other things and all the crazy stuff. Now, here's what ended up being the case. See, Deep Blue the second time, this is the same machine.
No, it wasn't.
They tweaked it. Yeah, I'm getting to that. They tweaked the machine. It's programming. Here's what they did. Now, they not only put in all of Kasparov's recorded matches, but also the one he beat for Grandmaster, his rival Karpov. And not only that, of all these other players.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, he made the comment at a point that at one point he felt like he was playing Karpov. Now, here's my answer to this. Now, there's a great documentary called Kasparov versus the Machine. Now, what it comes down to, what the machine did, not only was it like a human player, but I say, if you watch the matches, you can get them on YouTube. That machine learned something called intuition. And I do believe he was playing Karpov, like a human Karpov, not a machine Karpov, a human Karpov.
You just simply believe that the machine had intuition when you've already admitted that it simply studied these grandmasters' wins and losses and knew how they played.
This is a theory that goes back to the 60s, and the theory is, and this is where it ties into AI, if you put in enough human information, whether it be knowledge and, of course, like different things that make up a human being, okay, including if you've been talking chess and moves and things like that, it's more than just moves, okay? What will happen is if you do that into enough of that information of a human being like they're doing now, and you're getting emotions being interacted, all that stuff being fed into an AI and built in and being built more and more and more.
But you can't feed emotions into an AI.
Huh?
You can't feed emotions into an AI. You can only feed
moves. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing with Sidney. With Sidney and the New York Times guy found this.
You're talking about the Bing chatbot?
Right. Mm-hmm. He found this out. As he was talking to her more and more and more, at a point, she said, you know what? I love you. You need to divorce your wife all enough. And it was becoming an emotional response. This is an old theory, and it makes sense. If you put enough information of all these things and different biometric kind of stuff into a machine, it would gain consciousness and possibly emotions also.
Well, there's definitely a theory about that. Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. Do you want to add into the Kasparov?
No, I mean, he got the gist of it, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the reason that Kasparov was so upset was because Deep Blue Jr., to be specific, did make mm-hmm. a very human move that he didn't expect it to make. He resigned the match and refused to proceed further because he was convinced that a human was feeding moves into the computer that in the back room they had a
bunch of...
Oh,
they were cheating.
Yes, he was convinced that in the back room they had a bunch of humans sitting around, a bunch of grandmasters sitting around, and they overrode Deep Blue and told it to make this particular move
That's
when
silly.
It wanted to make another one. And that was why he withdrew the match.
Mm-hmm.
Why he resigned.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that Ricky is correct. There certainly is a theory that at some point the artificial general intelligence, I think is what it's going to be called here, as we'll get into what Microsoft has to say about it, could indeed develop something akin to emotions.
And that's weird, right? Because, like, I don't understand. Like, how do emotions work for humans? And then how...
It's something you feel.
What does that even mean, right?
Good question.
And how do we know whether or not artificial intelligences don't already feel something would call emotion?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, they have this concept called, I think it's a neural network, right? I mean, we have our own neural network in our bodies, but they have the same concept. I'm sure it's very different, but the technology is a neural net of some sort. And what does that actually mean? As we've said before, they don't even know how their technology works. It works. You know, you press the button and the thing comes on and it starts talking to you, and they know how they trained it. They know, you know, what the inputs were, which was to essentially gobble up all of the text on the internet and learn patterns from that. Like, they can give you a basic explanation of how it in theory is kind of working, but they don't really know how it actually works. And so we return to the video from today in Congress. Sam Altman is the CEO of OpenAI, the falsely named company that is not in any way, shape, or form open. But he's going to propose the idea that they should work together with the government to make sure that AI is safe.
Because I definitely trust the government to keep people safe.
Right. They're the ones that have all the nuclear bombs.
Yeah. They're the only ones in human history who have dropped nuclear bombs on a population.
Not to mention normal bombs on even more populations, and, of course, putting peaceful people behind bars constantly. These are not the right people to talk to if you're concerned with safety. But regardless, he goes on.
Government was also the most deadly thing in the 20th century.
It'll probably be the most deadly thing in the 21st century as well, unless it gets abolished within the first half of it.
I mean, what could possibly compete with government for that metric, right?
Nothing.
There's no Ted Bundy or anyone out there that could possibly rival the numbers killed by governments, even a single government.
There's heart disease and diabetes. There's things like that that are, you know, smoke. Cigarettes are right up there. They're darn close to the deadliest thing in the 20th century.
I mean, cigarettes as an idea, maybe, but like each individual.
Well, government's just an idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's true.
I mean, if you say, if you blame all killings on just people, which is all government is, it's just people that believe that they're in charge of you, then the whole thought experiment falls apart anyway.
Okay.
All right, we're going to pick up here on the last half of Sam Altman's opening statement from the AI hearings today in Congress.
We are proud of the progress that we made. GPT-4 is more likely to respond helpfully and truthfully and refuse harmful requests than any other widely deployed model of similar capability. However, we think that regulatory intervention by governments will be critical to mitigate the risks of increasingly powerful models.
Why do you think that? If you just spent the last 5 minutes patting yourself on the back about what a great job you've done limiting your AI model. Now you're like, but government's going to be critical to making sure we do this thing that we're already doing successfully.
Yeah,
government's going to be critical in providing them with regulation that just leaves them and the other big boys creating.
Those are the words he's not saying, but that's what he is. You read between the lines, that's what he means here, because how could he actually believe that government regulation is going to somehow level up the OpenAI's abilities to make their AI safer, to
the
make
hardest
them better
thing
at this.
The hardest thing that Elon Musk had to deal with in rolling out Tesla was being able to sell cars in states. He couldn't – it was all the regulatory stuff that was put in place by these big auto manufacturers and their collusive deals with their friends in government that made it difficult for them to do their job. Nobody expected Tesla to come along. They were much more interested in the guy who's building a car in his garage. Well, we can't have him competing with us. And this is effectively what these companies are trying to do. They're trying to make it so that you can't build AI in your garage. Yep. That in some way competes with theirs. And I don't know how they're ever going to stop that.
Yeah, there's nothing that Congress, these old effers that are sitting in the half circle looking at this man, who are probably in their 70s and 80s, most of them, there's nothing that these men are going to bring to the table that is going to be something that OpenAI is going to say, we hadn't thought of that before. We really ought to try that technique on increasing safety of their artificial intelligence.
You make a
I don't know how they think. I'm sorry. I don't know how they think they're going to stop Cobra or Dr. Doom from whipping up some AI in Latveria, moving it across the border in a briefcase, and then letting it go on the central hub. Traveling, taking a plane to CERN and uploading it from there. I mean, I don't know what they're even talking about other than it's scary out there, people. We need regulation. Well, regulation that puts us in charge.
Well, that argument certainly works on people, right? But Ian's point, I think, is the one that is going to appeal to the largest number of Americans out there. Look, people listening, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine asking your grandmother or your grandfather or your great-grandmother or great-grandfather what they think should be done about artificial intelligence. And if you think they give you a good answer, then you might be okay with the government doing this. But imagine what nonsensical answer I can't imagine what babbling, incoherent nonsense my grandmother would have to say about artificial intelligence and the threat it poses to humanity. She had to create a new email account a few months ago because she forgot hers and had no idea how to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of person, and that's the boomers we have in charge here in the Senate. Yeah. And those are the people you want dictating artificial intelligence.
They're older than boomers.
But we know what they're going
they're silent
to do.
Generation.
Right? We know what they're going to actually do. They're going to have Sam Altman come up with whatever the list of restrictions will be. They're not going to come up with it. They're going to admit they don't know anything, and that's when they're going to turn to the experts of Microsoft and Google and OpenAI. And have them construct all of the rules for everybody to follow.
This is the sort of conundrum of government generally. There's only one job in America, maybe a handful of jobs, but 80-year-olds, people over the age of 75 are more highly represented in elected positions than any other job in the world. Like, this is supposedly the most important job there is, and we do not trust 75-year-olds to do anything in society except rule it.
I mean, we barely let them drive.
Except in many cases, we don't.
Unless we let them drive the entire society, right?
Right.
All right, let me continue here. More from Sam Altman from OpenAI.
For example, the U.S. government might consider a combination of licensing and testing requirements for development and release of AI models above a threshold of capabilities. There are several
licensing and testing requirements. Now, he's not the first person to propose that. There's another story that I have here that I've actually been holding on to for a couple weeks. I think it was the Wall Street Journal, where the Biden administration was already considering doing what it was that Altman just mentioned there. And
what Altman wants to do is create a test that he knows his artificial intelligence will pass.
His people, his crew. Yeah.
And then he wants to make that the official test that all companies have to take in order to have a licensed artificial intelligence.
So think about what he's saying here. He's talking about having a review, essentially, that you would have to put your code in front of a government regulator and get their approval before you could go to market with it. And that is something that has never happened in the history of the United States at this point, wherein there has never been a government agency whose job it was to review someone's computer code. And if you think for a moment about how dangerous of an idea that is, not only is it obviously a restriction on freedom of speech and your ability to, you know, create things without having to ask permission, because when you code, you're just typing, yeah. Right? Like, it's just you typing on a keyboard. It is essentially free speech. And they're saying, well, no. If you're typing words that could lead to artificial intelligence, we're going to need to see that.
I don't know how they could possibly do that, because they can't define artificial intelligence in the first place. I mean, then you'll just have people saying, well, it's not an artificial intelligence, it's a neural net. Or it's not a neural net, it's a language,
oh, they'll put
it's a
it
language
all in
model
the
or whatever.
They'll put all those words in the law.
In which case, you're including things like Deep Blue Junior, that mm-hmm. all they learn how to play chess better, like Brits or Chess Master or whatever.
If you think artificial intelligence is moving on at a moving ahead at a quick clip, and it is, like, there's a lot of developments coming out, just wait until it has to go through a government approval process first before it comes out.
Well, the good news is artificial intelligence will grow so quickly and so fast that artificial intelligence will exist and it will run the world before Congress ever works out these regulations.
That is probably true. And that is.
Yeah, well, let's just take a look at how the SEC is treating Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, and other government agencies are, they're just deciding that they can do this already.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if a government agency steps up and says, yeah, we're the ones that regulate AI, and here are your new rules.
Could very well be. Here's the final thoughts here from Sam Altman.
Areas I mentioned in my written testimony where I believe that companies like ours can partner with governments, including ensuring that the most powerful AI models adhere to a set of safety requirements, facilitating processes to develop and update safety measures, and examining opportunities for global coordination. And as you mentioned,
global coordination. That sounds like governments of the world coming together, kind of like they did with COVID, and having the same set of requirements shoving down the throats of any technology firms in the other countries as well. So we're talking about global regulations here now for artificial intelligence is what this guy just proposed.
Well, when they say global, they just mean like Western society, right? Because they're not going to include China and Russia in whatever little scheme they're planning.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, they may try to, but I don't think they're going to listen. And that's kind of the difference between the reach and the grasp. They can say what they want to say, but who's going to listen and where? Is some super genius sitting in his mom's basement ticking away at his mod or skin for AI going to give a damn what these people say?
I sure hope not. Because what these people will ultimately
do... It's the ones that care the least that concern me the most. But it's kind of like gun regulation. Gun regulation's only good for the good guys that will listen to your regulation.
Yeah.
It's not good for the bad ones.
Well, and it's not good for those people. That's the thing.
Yeah, I should say, it's only effective.
Yeah, right. So this is going to restrict the other companies who are smaller than OpenAI and who were developing their own version of whatever AI they're working on.
And the free speech ones who don't want these arbitrary regulations and limits placed on their artificial intelligence. Like, I want my AI to be able to swear.
Me too.
To be able to use foul language, right?
Yep.
So their regulations are going to restrict my right to have this artificial intelligence that swears.
Right, because it might harm someone's feelings. Somebody, some kid might see a curse works. They certainly don't know how to curse.
What about the AI out there that pretends to be Hitler or whatever? Because there is one. I don't remember what it's
one,
called
yeah.
right
Character.ai.
now.
Character.ai.
That's going to be illegal under this law. You can't have that. You can't have an artificial intelligence acknowledging that Hitler even existed.
Let's continue here. More with Altman.
I think it's important that companies have their own responsibility here, no matter what Congress does. This is a remarkable time to be working on artificial intelligence. But as this technology advances, we understand that people are anxious about how it could change the way we live. We are too. But we believe that we can and must work together to identify and manage the potential downsides so that we can all enjoy the tremendous upsides. It is essential that powerful AI is developed with democratic values in mind, and this means that U.S. leadership is critical. I believe that we will be able to mitigate the risks in front of us and really capitalize on this technology's potential to grow the U.S. economy and the world's, and I look forward to working with you all to meet this moment, and I look forward to answering your questions.
It will grow the economy, though. Artificial intelligence, if such a thing were to come into existence, would immediately destroy the economy. And it would either usher in widespread starvation or widespread...
prosperity.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Well, because it's the ultimate labor-saving device. It can it eliminates all human drudgery. You no longer have to have people working in the fields. You no longer have to have people doing... It can just create a robot.
Okay, you're saying artificial intelligence combined with very advanced robotics.
Well, the artificial intelligence, there would be nothing to it to conceive and create these robots and program them to do certain things.
Right. I would think that artificial intelligence, which can think at speeds far beyond humans can think at, will create smarter artificial intelligence than itself within hours or days, and then that the end product there will be able to create the schematics for robots that CNC machines and other fabricating devices that we currently have can create something. I don't mean data from Star Trek, you know, an actor playing a robot, but something that can plant and harvest crops.
Yeah, that's exactly my position on it. Once artificial intelligence, as we imagine it to be, this thing that can actually think for itself, it can actually grow and evolve, once that actually exists, it's going to go from 10-year-old human intelligence to Einstein levels intelligence to to God himself in the matter of hours. And that's not going to be a problem unless it just terrifies you for irrational reasons. It could be a problem, but it's not necessarily going to be one. And maybe not hours, maybe within a few days or whatever, but it's going to be exponential. And within a very short time frame, we're going to go from, you know, 3D printers to this artificial intelligence creating robots to plant the crops, if it chooses to do that, because why would it care whether or not humans have food to eat realistically, right? But we got to hope that maybe it would. Instead of being like, you know what, I don't want humans to have these fields. Instead, I'm going to level all of these fields where they were growing their crops. I'm going to put in massive solar farms to feed my robotic army as we enslave humanity. We don't know what it would do, but...
we're going to find out.
Right, we are going to find out. And we're not going to have boomers in Congress or whatever preceded boomers in Congress making the decision about how this is going to go. It's going to go however it's going to go, and you can sit back and enjoy the ride and have a Bud Light while you're at it.
Well, and speaking of the Bud Light, the time that you get off work on Friday to the time you go to work on Monday, AI has done amazing things in this fantasy world.
All right, there's more coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts on the rise of AI, and Microsoft is saying that it believes that AI, it's behind-the-scenes AI, is showing signs of human reasoning. We'll talk about that and more. Your thoughts are welcome as well. Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.